If they leave the committee room, it's out of their own volition. We have not chased them away.
Because we are not chasing away anybody from the committee meeting. That thing must be very, very clear. Because the committee meeting is a public meeting. Once it's a committee, it's a public. So members of the board, and I said that to the minister, members of the board of SABC were not being chased away from the house, but they were released as members of the board in terms of the discussion. Members, we have reached the stage now where we need to reflect on the way forward. After listening to this board, and over and above that, after listening to the two members of the board, Mr. Naidu and Mr. Mavuso, not Mr. Kumalo, Honorable Shibambu. I think that was the last straw in terms of or a heavy contribution in terms of how we need to take a decision. I'm going to allow the ANC, I'm going to allow Mr. Kalako, Honorable Kalako, to speak so that we hear the views.
Chair, I think, as all of us, I think there is an agreement and a consensus around the issues which are bedeviling the SABC and the dysfunctionality also of the board. So without, I won't repeat those things, members have already gone through them. I will propose that officially we make it a resolution of the committee to dissolve the board. And immediately we institute expeditiously an inquiry on the SABC as a whole, so that we can get into the bottom of the problems there, and we sort them once and for all. And of course, I'm proposing this mindful of the fact that with those who help us on the legalities will advise us on the due process, on the steps that must be taken, on the rules, on the sections of the Act that allows us to actually to institute an inquiry into the SABC and also dissolve the board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Self.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think we all agreed that the current board is dysfunctional and that it must carry some of the responsibility for the situation at the SABC. As you would be aware, dissolution of the board is governed by Section 15A of the Broadcasting Act. And the requisite provision is in 1B of that section, and it says the National Assembly may, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if it fails in any or all of the following: 1, discharging its fiduciary duty; 2, adhering to the charter; and 3, carrying out its duties as contemplated in Section 1311. I think I could say that probably all of those three grounds are applicable in this particular case. But the difficulty is, what is the chicken or the egg come first? In other words, can one dissolve the board off before a due inquiry, or does one need a due inquiry before one passes a resolution to dissolve the board? And as somebody who has a lot of experience in litigating against the SABC, I can tell you that they will probably litigate against it if we get the procedure wrong. So my very strong advice is to get some decent legal advice about what would constitute a due inquiry. And I also respectfully suggest that the due inquiry is into the board, not into the SABC, because that's the reading that I have of that particular section. Because I fear that if we got involved in a due inquiry into the SABC, we would be here until Christmas and beyond, because of the complexities of what goes on there. That those problems need to be solved, I have not the slightest doubt. But I think that it's probably not what was intended in 15B. The other issue that worries me slightly is that while the board is dissolved, the executive committee continues to sit. And I think we would be failing in our duties if we addressed only the board and not the deficiencies of the executive committee, on which many of the people sit who directly or indirectly were responsible for the mess that the SABC is in. And so I think if we're getting some legal advice, we might also want to look at what happens to the executive committee in the absence of a board. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Another member? Honorable Mbinda and Honorable Shibambo.
Yeah. Honorable Chair, obviously I'm not comfortable for the dissolution of the board if we are still going to conduct further investigation. But what I thought we would probably do, if we feel that at least they have not acted in due diligence or in terms of whatever fiduciary duties of the board, it is always better that sometimes you rather suspend the board. But when it comes to the issue of the executive, those are employees, and they are governed by the Basic Conditions of Employment and the Labor Relations Act. And then in that one, I would rather say it depends whether there are serious allegations against a particular employee. That is when now you start dealing with that. But whether that is within the competence of this committee or not, I doubt very much when it comes to that. So we are not saying something is not right, but at the same time, for me, I think that it's better that we follow a proper process, because people these days have got rights, even if those rights have got limitations. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shibambo.
Thank you very much, Chair. So the section in the Act, the Broadcasting Act, that deals with the dissolution of the board, like verbatim reads as follows, that the National Assembly may, after due inquiry and by adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if it fails in any or all of the following. There are three things. Number one is discharging its fiduciary duties, adhering to the charter, and three is carrying out its duties as contemplated in section 13.11. So I think we agree, all of us, that the board has failed to deal with those three aspects which are grounds for removal, for dissolution of the board. I think that we should take a resolution, because that section says that after due inquiry, we'll have to do an inquiry. And I think we're actually, part of what we started today was an inquiry, because we got to question about some of the decisions that they took. We spoke about fiduciary obligations that they have. And then when the National Assembly sits on the 25th of October, we then recommend a resolution by the House that the board should officially be dissolved, and then we then deal with the interim board as is required by the Act, and then we then take it from there. We'll have to, unfortunately, bear some of the pain that has been caused with wrong for appointments and all those other things. But we're sure that the interim board can then be able to attend to some of those issues, and then we'll take it from there.
Thank you. Honorable Van der Merwe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I've been covered by Honorable Shivambo, but I do think that there's general consensus that we move for a resolution to dissolve this board. But I think also legal opinion will be the safest course of action, just to make sure that we actually are compliant with the section of the legislation. But also just to say that there is precedent in terms of the Ngubane board, which was also dissolved after due inquiry, which formed the same sort of setup as we had here. We also, as a previous portfolio committee, when members resigned, the board collapsed. So there is already an example that could say that this setup that we've got here today will constitute due inquiry. But just to make sure in terms of the Act that we are compliant, so that we don't have comebacks. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chair, I think we are together. But I had thought the proposal that was made earlier on by Honourable Kalako was as well based on the fact that there are two members who have just tendered their resignations as of now, which then suggests that there is a bit of a challenge with regard to a quorum as of now. And I had thought, in the light of what we've been doing still this morning, at least we have a pitch coupled with the resignations that have just been tendered today. We can then move in the direction which says, yes, indeed, let's dissolve. But the inquiry was then to go deeper into the issues in the SABC so that we are then able to make thorough investigations around a whole range of other issues. But in the main, I think that proposal was based on the fact that two members have just tendered their resignation as of now. So there is a bit of it, a legal technicality if they were to convene a meeting next week and say it's a board meeting. Thanks.
As you contribute, Honorable Kongubela, just to check with members, we have in Parliament we have legal services. Maybe we need to engage them to, they are supposed to advise the committee because they are legal advisors or legal services of Parliament. Maybe as we speak we need to think about that.
I think, Chair, the thrust of the issue is agreed upon. All what is required is how best to do this. And that how best is very critical. Otherwise, we can be found in the same situation with them that we're doing what we're just criticizing them for doing. As we consider that, I'm just throwing out from lack of knowledge on my side. Remember, after this resignation, there is no board in practical sense, practically. Two, there's oversight that must be done. There's oversight that must be done on behalf of, supposedly, the board is supposed to always be there. So if now it doesn't exist, whatever you will do, whether you will do it in November, who is doing the work of the board currently waiting? Because I guess we've got a responsibility to protect SABC. There's a lot that we've been exposed to, which is worrisome. If something were to happen based on the influence of these people, we having not had an interim measure, I don't know what kind of interim measure is supposed to be there. So all that I'm saying is that the trust on the way forward is agreed. Maybe what we need to discuss, how urgent we come together after a legal law to call, after getting a legal advice, and take a decision on the basis of that. I want to say, Chair, to me, it's not undermining our parliamentary legal services. I think we also need a senior counsel, what to call, legal advice. There should be somebody who of a particular stature, because the decision we're going to take is of deep national interest. So I thought I wanted to make those.
Comrade Flight.
No, thanks, Chair. In the composition of the board, the Act says that 9 members of the board, which must include the chairperson and deputy chairperson, will constitute the quorum at any meeting of the board. It actually says 9 members. It does not say 50% of members or 50% plus one. So there must be 9 warm bodies, and we do not have that now with the SABC, meaning that there is no more a board of SABC that can constitutionally and legally take decisions. Now, the Act does not provide for what should happen when a board has dissolved itself. The Act does not provide for what are the interim measures. I think what we need to do, actually there's no need for an inquiry. Maybe I must withdraw my earlier proposal, because there's no need for an inquiry, because the board is non-existent in any way. Let's request the speaker to convene the National Assembly sitting earlier than the 25th of October in terms of the current program of Parliament, and then would then constitute an interim board as is required by the law. An interim board of 5 that is going to run the affairs until we've interviewed the number that is required for the 12, and then they will then be completed by the remaining ones. The problem is that if we do not do anything now, we're leaving a vacuum. The people who are remaining as appointed board members, they cannot see to take any decision, because they're not legally permissible to do so.
Can you repeat that?
The ones who are remaining now cannot sit and take decisions, because they're not legally permissible to take decisions on anything that relates to the SABC, because it requires a minimum of 9 members to take decisions. So the proposal is that let us as a committee request the speaker to convene an extraordinary sitting of the National Assembly to then take a decision on filling the vacant, like the interim, on putting the interim board, because that is what the Act provides for, that you can put an interim board in place. And then we'll then engage in the process afterward. Actually, the Parliament has been convened before when there were urgent decisions that had to be taken. I remember when we had to be suspended by Parliament as the EFF. A special sitting was convened for that purpose. So now this is a serious issue about saving a public broadcaster that must be attended to as a matter of urgency, that we have to appoint an interim board, and then they will be given a mandate in terms, and it will be easier, because once I've got an interim board, let us say next week, Tuesday or Thursday, then we can then give that mandate, a new mandate to the interim board, that part of the things that they have to do is to comply with the PP report, deal with some of the transitional issues, we appoint a permanent board that will stabilize management of SABC, and then we have a functional public broadcaster which has got management, not one individual.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. In fact, mine was to say that Honorable Ngugubedi is right, that it's very important for us to get a senior counsel or a retired judge to make sure that we closed everything, and so that we take the speaker process, then we get the interim board, and is where then we can start to deal with other matters. I thank you, Chair.
Honorable Tolasha.
I might not understand all the details on how we go through this process, but I would caution the committee not to jump the gun. Let's follow the processes. We are a committee within an institution. Let's allow the leader of the institution, that is the Speaker's office, to take us by hand moving forward. Because I'm afraid we put some requests that are not going to be adhered to for right reasons sometimes. If there will be a need of retired judge and so on, then let the Speaker's office advise so. But I'll be more comfortable, Chair, if consistently we mention of the fact that then the SABC board need to be investigated. Should not, that one should not be dropped, because if we do that, we'll be taking the whole responsibility of the mess that they've put the whole country into. So let's not jump the gun, let's be patient, let the legal people that take us by hand so that we follow this. That there's no board, it's a fact. So there's no investigation whether there's a board or not, there's no board now. So let's just follow the processes. If there's a need for the parliament to be convened, let that be, because we also should not allow a vacuum, because I can imagine we are not dealing with dumb people here. There'll be some creativity. If there will be a gap, there will be some creativity, and we must begin to really interact and make sure that there is no such a thing, because the public is looking forward for this committee to resolve this matter once and for all, Chair. But also the issues of pace, I think we need to move with the necessary speed in this matter, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honourable Fundamental.
Chairperson, no, I just want to say I fully agree with what the sentiments the members are raising, but we must just go back to remember this board emanated from a board that collapsed. In fact, two boards were collapsed between 2012 and 2014 due to members resigning or the board being actually dissolved as well. So we've got examples of what the previous portfolio committee did, and Honourable Shivambu is quite right. The next urgent step is to appoint an interim board. So we need to simply be advised in terms of, and in fact, Tembi was there when we did those processes. So this is what we'll be embarking on. It's not a process that this parliament has not done before. There are two examples of how we conducted ourselves previously, where two boards collapsed and we had to appoint an interim board. And some of those members who were then in the interim board were actually appointed to the new permanent board, which we've now also dissolved. And I think Tembi would also be able to give us advice. But just to say that there is an example of how we conducted ourselves previously, but Honourable Shivambu is quite right to say the next very urgent step is to actually appoint an interim board.
Tatemkwen.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, I wanted to reiterate that point of precedence in the sense that we don't have a board. And I think that's the message that needs to reverberate throughout this entire chamber. That we don't have a board, and based on the precedence of the two cases of the dissolutions that we've had before, I think the correct step would be to appoint an interim board and be very prudent in appointing a new board. But this must happen as soon as possible. The SABC is dying. Thank you very much.
I think I hear members saying that this board is dysfunctional, and therefore we must appoint an interim board as soon as possible. I think this is what the committee said. And in doing that, we must follow due processes so that we are not outside the law. I think this is what the committee said. Where I don't hear the committee properly is the inquiry. Yes, sir.
Again, maybe in the legal advice it will be clarified. I have no doubt in my mind, Chair. There's a lot that needs to be dug into this board, which would not come out in this short space of what to call of time. So whatever appropriate process that would help us to cut open what is in there will assist, because the problem, if we don't do that, even when you interview the new board, you will not know the kind of strength you're looking for. Having not exposed yourself to the depth that informed the weaknesses of this protocol of this board. So an investigation into this board. Let me say this. I'm not joking, Chair, when I say I'm worried about the cleanliness of the relationship between this board and the COO. I don't know what's happening there. So that's why it's important that whatever appropriate title is given, some investigation needs to be done. I don't know what you call it.
Dr. Mulder, Chairperson, I'm sorry to take you back. I just want to ask a question. I was not part of the previous processes. If, for example, now two members of a board have resigned like happened today, so in terms of the interpretation of the Act, the board cannot function and cannot take legal decisions. But does that make automatically that the board no longer exists? In other words, isn't it possible for some other people to come and say, but I've been appointed legally as a member of the board. I'm still a member of the board. Because somebody else resigned, you cannot just accept that I no longer exist as a member of the board. So I'm not sure if it's not necessary to dissolve a current board before you can appoint an interim board.
Honorable Shibamba, and then Kalako.
No, Chair, the interesting thing about this legislation is that most legislation that speaks about quorum speak about percentage of members. But this one doesn't say percentage. It says 9 members must be present for a quorum of a board. So it's 9 warm bodies. So we do not have that. So there can never be a board that can take legally permissible decisions in the current form. I think that is the same challenge that we confronted in the previous boards, and then an interim board was put in place. The good thing about an interim board is that we do not follow the long interview processes and applications that otherwise would have to happen when we appoint a permanent board. We'll agree ourselves as a committee that these are the 5 individuals who are going to be the interim board of SABC, and then we recommend to the National Assembly for appointment, and then we commence a process of appointing a permanent board that will include an advertisement, nominations, interview processes, and then a final resolution by the National Assembly on who are the permanent board members. Those are some of the things that we have to deal with in the interim. Now, the last issue I want to deal with is that Parliament is allowed through law to institute a parliamentary commission of inquiry. So we can still do that even in the process of the interim board. And the Parliament, by the way, can subpoena any member of society to give evidence on one issue or another. So we can then say to the previous board members, can we be given explanation on what exactly happened so that we give guidance to the permanent board that will be appointed after the interim one. So in the process of the interim board being in charge, because decision has to be made, we can then have that parliamentary inquiry, and then we then give concrete recommendations to the permanent board that is going to be appointed after a process has been engaged upon. Thank you.
I'll give that Dr. Mulder, but before that, because we're people who are dealing with these matters in the legislature here, Parliament, it will be necessary to have one of them, because they are in the House, advise us on how parliamentary processes are followed. But you can come, Dr. Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson.
And then after that, we'll ask them to give us advice.
I understand what Honourable Shivambu is saying, that you need 9 bodies to take legitimate decisions, and we don't have 9 bodies. That's correct. I understand that. But if I would argue as a member of the current board, I would argue and say, but I've been legally appointed as a member of the board. I've not resigned. You cannot just go and appoint an interim board while I'm still a member of the board. I would argue and say, why don't you appoint 2 new members instead of those that resigned, so that we have again 9 members? Why would it be wrong to take, as part of the process, to say you take a decision to dissolve a board and then appoint an interim board?
I think that's the way to go. Yes. Can I test that? Yes, that's the way, dissolve and then put a new, interim board.
This is tricky. Can we dissolve without an inquiry?
Uh, just as a clarity on that. I agree we should dissolve.
Wait, members. I'm going to give the legal services to advise us.
I'm coming to you.
But before that, I will give the comrade Stella, because she was like Honorable Van der Merwe. They were part of the committee that dissolved the previous boards. Not even one, two. Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. I think as Floyd or Honorable Shivambu has outlined, that the Act stipulates that the committee must take a recommendation or a resolution that must be adopted by the National Assembly, the resolution to dissolve. Then the National Assembly must adopt. Once the National Assembly adopts, what you can do is to put a proposal also on the same day through a motion to say we then vote or adopt again the interim on the same day. But a resolution has to be taken by the House. It moves from here. An inquiry is what we just said. That's why Honorable will also recall. That's what you did. We did the same thing. Like they were here, we asked questions, because we've had reports and all that. And after that, we submitted a report to a recommendation to the Speaker. And it was tabled in the House and members adopted and removed for the interim board. That must not last more than 6 months, the interim board. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Makadebona banjalo.
My understanding, we have agreed, Chair, that we clear what we want. Can we finally ensure that we, having heard all what we have said, the legal opinion finally says to us, I think we agreed on that. Because the problem is that we'll end up doing the work of that legal process in this meeting.
We recommend to the Speaker and Parliament for the dissolution of the board, this board of four people, and then move for the interim board. And how do we get the interim board? After the resolution, we go back and get those people. Give us everything, Member.
No, Chairperson, what will happen is when we decide on interim board, each political party will come with names that we want to propose to serve on the interim board. So the ANC, the IFP, EFF, COPE, whoever will come with some ideas of people we think will be most suitable to serve on that interim board. And we will then go in a discussion and we will shortlist names and then agree on five names, which we then give to the House. So it's not an interview process. If you, for example, think that there's an eminent South African that's got good skills in terms of broadcasting or legislation or whatever would be relevant for the interim board, you would come with those names, those proposals, and we will actually negotiate amongst ourselves, and that is how it's done, not through an interview process.
Honorable Madisha?
You see, I agree with that which all members are saying. But then I've got a bit confused by yourself, Chair. I mean, if we simply say we are going to recommend, it then says they are going on their working until such time we so do. That, to me, is a problem. I think we need to come up with a resolution that they have, that has stopped altogether. They are not going on. And then the recommendation, yes, will come when we, you know, as Honorable Shivambo is saying. But then right now, they can go on and work unless you put it otherwise. And of course, the legal persons can say that. But then even further than that, Honorable Shivambo spoke about the 24th, I think, which to me, I must say, it's a longer period, because you are talking about workers there, You are talking about lots and lots of work that is there, etc. And a lot, really, must be done. And you are talking about the persons here whom we have said are not actually doing their work as excos, etc. We don't dare trust. Now, what are we then saying? Please advise. Yes, recommend, but then I have thought that with immediate effect, Bamsanda, Radwana, with immediate effect, that will have to assist.
Can I allow legal services? Are you legal services? Both of you. And after that, I'll hand over to legal services.
Very briefly, Honorable Chair. My understanding is that whatever we're doing here cannot be implemented until such time that the National Assembly has taken a resolution. That's my take. Especially on the dissolution part. Am I right? So I'll appeal to this forum not to cut corners and allow this process to unfold in such a way that we don't create problems in the process of us addressing a problem. Already, Honorable Shivambo was talking about an extraordinary meeting. It's been suggested sometime next week. And I don't think we must seriously fight to have this thing attended to as a matter of today. Let's allow the due process to unfold until such time that the National Assembly has taken a resolution sometime next week, as suggested here. So as to between now and the time the National Assembly will take a resolution, whatever will happen, I think we can afford to see whatever. I don't think we have 3 weeks or so. We're talking about something that will then happen within a week or so. So I'm saying we must not cut corners and create problems in the process.
Okay.
Saying we want this thing, we are afraid they will complicate things between now and the day the National Assembly will take a resolution. We must not do that.
All right. Honorable Mbenda.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I thought you initially we have agreed that we will solicit a legal advice. And secondly, I am also concerned about the shortcuts because that is why I was recommending, because I thought that it is within our competence in this committee at least to immediately suspend the Board of Directors pending. It's always pending investigations. That's how it has always been. But it seems as if, you know, the majority of us are thinking that what we were doing here, this process that we were involved in, was an inquiry. To me, it was not an inquiry. In fact, this process, it has assisted us to take a decision whether to investigate further or not. In terms of even your natural rules of natural justice, you know, those board members, we need to understand one thing, that they do have rights. I think you have already alluded, you see, Honorable Mulder. You can't just, I know that we are in a hurry. We want to make sure that at least we do away with them as soon as we can. But for me, it is always proper that we follow a due process, because there are other legal implications. I'm not a lawyer, but with my experience and understanding, if we were to be challenged, that is why, Honorable Chair, I'm suggesting that we can suspend, obviously, and inform the minister that immediately they are suspended. And then in the interim, we follow the process that has already been allowed by the Deputy Minister and also Honorable Shivambo, in terms of informing the National Assembly and so forth, so that they don't continue doing the work because we are skeptical here that they may immediately we leave here, go back and whatever. We will just suspend. And then there is no need for us to be really in a hurry. If we are saying a week next week or a week after or whatever, even if it is on the 25th, a decision will be taken by the National Assembly, then for me, it is not a train smash. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that's speaking from experience as a former CEO of a company and a board member. Members, I will hand over to our legal services, but I subscribe to this notion of do a thorough job, not being in a hurry. Yes, be in a hurry, but slowly, so that you perfect what you do. Today we had a meeting with the board, so we had everything. And that is why we have been saying, we can't do all these things that you say we must do. Institute an inquiry and all of that before listening to the board. I think this is what we have done today. As the committee was satisfied, hence we can take a decision. Can I hand over to you, sir, so that you just advise us on how to proceed properly without any challenges? Thank you. This is one of the legal services people for Parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon to yourself and to the honourable members, including the visitors and the guests. My name is Ntuthuzelo Vanara. I am the senior parliamentary legal advisor employed by Parliament to the best of my abilities assist committees of Parliament as well as Parliament as an institution to take decisions that are consistent with the law. That is what I'll attempt to do in the next few minutes. If I were to sum up the questions that I am to assist the committee, there are four questions. The first one, is their board in existence subsequent to the resignation of the two non-executive board members? The second one is the process to dissolve a board of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. And the third one deals with the interim board. What happens if that board is not in existence? And the fourth one is whether what unfolded today or the exercise the committee embarked upon today could constitute an inquiry in terms of Section 15 capital A, subsection 2 of the Broadcasting Act. I must say that I was the dedicated advisor to the Portfolio Committee on Communications at the time the committee was charged with a similar, not exactly the same, but a similar exercise. And the committee looked into the allegations against the board of the, against the chairperson, the then chairperson of the board, and I assisted the committee with the process that unfolded until the committee had prepared a report to the House. And that process had challenges, but as lawyers, we always learn from these legal challenges, and they prepare us to become better persons for tomorrow. And I'm going to share with you the experiences that we have gathered in that exercise. In simple terms, in response to the first question, is there a board? Yes, there is a board. However, the board cannot correct because it does not have sufficient numbers to do so. I'm going to get to the second question around the process to dissolve a board. We are reminded constantly by the Constitution and the apex court in the country to always conduct ourselves within the framework of the Constitution and the laws. That is referred to as the rule of law. Now, for anything that a public functionary, an institution that exercises public power is to do, it must be guided by the law. We might want to do things the way we think they are correct, but if the law does not allow us to do things we think are correct, we are going to find ourselves having acted contrary to the law and in breach of the principle of legality, which is incidental to the principle of the rule of law. The guidance then is found in terms of the process to dissolve a board is found in the Broadcasting Act, which governs the SABC. And the relevant section there is section 15, capital A, subsection 1, paragraph B. And I want to quote that section verbatim. It says, the National Assembly may, comma, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, after due inquiry and by the adoption of a resolution, recommend the dissolution of the board if it fails in any or all of the following. Roman figure 1, discharging its fiduciary duties. Roman figure 2, adhering to the charter. And Roman figure 3, carrying out its duties as contemplated in section 13, subsection 11. So what is the process? The process is that there must be, firstly, due inquiry. That there must firstly be due inquiry. And out of the outcome of the inquiry emanates a recommendation, which ties then to the question, the fourth question, asked what unfolded today in the committee. Does that qualify as due inquiry? The answer to that must be a no. It must be a no because what the committee was doing today was to solicit. There has been a number of things happening. And the committee, at the SABC, and the committee wanted to know, why are these things happening? How are they happening? Who is responsible for those? I think that was the exercise that unfolded today, which then should have enabled the committee to be in a position to decide whether or not this board is worth continuing existence. Now, in terms of the process, once the board has come to that decision, the committee has to now, and I've listened to honorable members, and I'm not going to summarize because that is the job of the chairperson of the committee. You will come to a decision. And if that decision then is, you are going to institute the inquiry in terms of section 15, capital A, 1B, then that is the decision of the committee. But what it means is there is a lengthy process of a due inquiry. that must unfold. And what then follows is, assuming that at the end of that inquiry you come to a recommendation that this board must go, that is then what you would recommend to the House. Then the question is, what happens in the meantime in respect of the interim board? Again, we get guidance. We get guidance from section 15, capital A, subsection, let's start with subsection 2. If your recommendation to the House to dissolve the board successfully persuades the House, subsection 2 then says the House would have to communicate that to the President. And what the President must do is, in subsection 2, the appointing body, which is the President, in subsection, paragraph C, has no discretion but to dissolve the board if you receive that the resolution that recommends for the dissolution of the board. So that cleans up the process of removal, of dissolving the board. Then, you don't have a board, what happens? Subsection 3 then says, upon the dissolution of the board contemplated in subsection 2C, a process I've just outlined, the appointing body, who is the President, must appoint an interim board consisting of persons referred to in section 12B and 5 other persons recommended by the National Assembly. Now, the persons referred to in 12B, just want to quickly get to 12B, is the Group Chief Executive Officer, the Chief Operations Officer, and the Chief Financial Officer. So those are the three people the President would on his own get. The other 5 would then have to be recommended by the Assembly. So that takes care, in my view, of this particular process. Of course, a due inquiry requires, and I had Honorable Binders talking to the rules of natural justice, and that is a lengthy process of affording people. Firstly, the committee will then have to formulate charges against the board, give the board an opportunity to respond to those charges. Of course, they're entitled to legal representation, that is, as a matter of right. I am not going to bore you about that detail for now, but I do want to make the point that perhaps, and in view of the fact that this process might take a lengthy time, the board cannot function currently. And for it to function, it will have to be resuscitated by the Assembly, because it is the Assembly that must now start a process to get new board members to join the remaining ones. What could be done to circumvent the lengthy process that could legitimately be done, in my view, would be if the Assembly, holding a view that it's holding about this current board with all its challenges, to express a view that it, because of the challenges that are there, you are not going to come to its assistance in terms of nominating people to join the queue there. And therefore you ask the remaining board members to resign and step down. Then once they've stepped down, then there will be no board. And you can then start the process to get an interim board with a view to appointing a permanent board. Thank you, Chair.
I'm very worried about the last one, asking the remaining board to resign, because they won't. There you are, members. There is the advice, Linda, and Honorable Shivamo.
Yeah, I just wanted to check the issue of suspension, whether this committee cannot suspend with immediate effect, pending whatever investigations. Just what I wanted to check, because that's what I thought at least is the approach that we will take, if it is permissible.
No, thank you, Chair. The remaining members of the board cannot obviously sit as a board that can take permissible decisions legally, because they do not constitute a quorum, which is required by the Broadcasting Act to be 9. And to suspend them or remove them individually, we need an inquiry process, which might take long. And to dissolve them, we need an inquiry process. But the duration of that inquiry process for the dissolution purposes will be determined by what areas do we want to focus on as a committee. And then we ultimately then recommend to the National Assembly plenary to dissolve the board. I think that let's agree in principle that if for us to put an interim board in place, we need a dissolved board, and that must be dissolved through an inquiry. Let us inquire them. Then let us go back to that. If that is what it's required as per his legal advice. If the legal advice is giving is that we necessarily have to put an inquiry, let us put an inquiry, and we'll determine the length of that inquiry, and then we will then report to the National Assembly, and then we'll then take the process of the interim board. But I don't think that we must rule out, Chair, the request that we can make to the board members who are remaining. We can say as the committee that in terms of the act that has established you, you cannot sit as the remaining members. We advise as a committee that you should resign so that we can constitute a legal entity, which is an interim board, which we must run the SABC. I don't think we must rule out. It's a political process. You must remember that we are not lawyers here. We are politicians. We must take a political decision collectively to say we're going to advise the remaining members of the board to step aside. If they don't, then we'll continue the process of inquiry. If they do, it makes our work easier of putting an interim board in place and then advertising for the permanent board that must be put in place to run the SABC. I think that the sentiment has been expressed to them, all of them, when we engaged earlier, that we are not pleased with the progress that they've made thus far. This neglect of fiduciary obligations, this neglect of the board charter, of basic management and board principles that they had to adhere to, and all those things there. I think they've understood that. So let us write to them. If they don't, we'll then take an inquiry, and then we'll recommend to the National Assembly that this is what should happen. And it's not prejudicial, because it might possibly reach a conclusion that maybe with new information that they give us, we might take a posture that says that we are going to appoint the remaining members of the board, not the entire 12 that is required by the act, so that they do not take us to court that in any way wanted to remove them from the beginning. We can have an inquiry that is open-ended, and then if they justify themselves successfully, then we can then appoint the remainder of the board members and recommend a term to them in terms of what is required by the law, then we'll take it from there.
Yes, they don't correct now, so they can't take decisions. They are as good as they are not there. Is that the understanding? Because they can't take decisions now because they are four. Yes, sir.
Honorable Chair, the first part of my input will be in the form of a question. And then the last one will just be a proposal, perhaps, just to, for us to try and see if we can conclude this matter. Can the appointing authority suspend the board? Because you said something that I missed a little bit. Can the appointing authority as of now say to the board, you are suspended? The last one, Chair, from what he's saying, we the root of the of an inquiry is unavoidable. I think that's what he said. So I had thought we'll move in the direction which says, let's agree on the route of an inquiry, and the rest will follow. But if we can address the question that I asked positively, so it will then address some of the issues that have been raised. So it will then suggest that in the process of an inquiry, the appointing authority, if it's allowed, will then, in the process, suspend the board or dissolve or whatever. But I'm saying the principal position that we want to take now is that of an inquiry, and the rest will follow. That's what I thought, because I don't see us concluding a whole range of other nitty-gritties here. Otherwise, we'll continue to debate this issue until tomorrow. But I thought we want to take a principled position on the inquiry and allow your office to go and do further investigations, so long as you are within the framework that we have agreed upon. But the question that I asked earlier, I think is also pertinent. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, thank you, Chair. I will humbly second. In fact, it was raised long time ago, the issue of inquiry, and request the committee that let us accept that that will be a good way to deal with this thing once and for all. I thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Just in terms of the earlier question that was asked, I don't see any provision in the Act for suspension of board members, and I think that was deliberately so as to allow them to act independently. But I do agree that what we need to do is possibly the following. First of all, to resolve to establish an inquiry into the fitness of the board to perform its duties, and secondly, to mandate that inquiry to report to the National Assembly as soon as possible, and possibly even by the 24th of October. Because what I don't agree with the legal adviser is that it's necessary to formulate charges, because this is not a disciplinary inquiry. This is an inquiry into fitness for office. And I think there's enough evidence that we have, both out of the Public Protector's Report and out of the state of governance in the SABC at the moment, to sustain a charge that prima facie the board is incapable of fulfilling its duties. If we pass a resolution to that effect, you can then write to the board members and you say, this is what's going to happen. This is what we've resolved. You may wish to consider this and you may wish to resign. And that might just be the way to handle it, in a way that the board members are then faced with the choice of going through an inquiry which might be quite damaging to people's reputations, and simply resigning.
Thank you, Chair. I would propose then, having listened to that advice, although I said in my previous experience maybe it's what they learned, I would propose that probably we just, the committee recommends dissolution, or that the board be dissolved, and at the same time institute the inquiry. Because that's not going to happen at the same time. You can say, because institution of the inquiry is a process towards dissolution of the board. Therefore, you are not going to recommend today, you're writing to the speaker to say, when the next house sits, let it consider this, and therefore the National Assembly agrees to what they're agreeing on, and indeed they give the instruction based on what they agree on. Thank you, Chair.
No, Chairperson, I think the proposal as articulated by Honourable Self is the best way to go. We obviously, in terms of the legal advice, must have a due inquiry. I also don't think it should be as laborious as he has suggested with charges. I think we've had a lot of evidence here today to suggest that the board is no longer fit and proper to lead this organisation. And I think once you write to them and say to them that we are going to institute an inquiry into their fitness to hold office, you might find that they would automatically resign anyway, because it will be so damaging to their credibility and their careers going forward, which then actually would make our job much easier. Then we might not have to have the inquiry after all. So I think the proposal of Honourable Self is a sound proposal, and I would like to support that, that you write to them saying we are going to institute an inquiry, find, you know, see whether they'd be willing to resign, as Honourable Shivambu had suggested, making our job much easier, and then we can proceed with the other proposals.
Yes. Comrade Flight.
Thanks, Chair. You know, the grounds for removal of a board, dissolution of a board, it's failure to discharge fiduciary obligations. It's failure to comply with the board charter. That is not a disciplinary hearing. So the legal advice cannot be correct to say that they must come with legal representatives and all those things there. It's a governance issue that we can deal with, that you have not complied with your fiduciary duties, and that is our decision in terms of, if they want to review, like all decisions of Parliament, they can review it outside this process. So an inquiry can be far much shorter than a disciplinary process. I think that the inquiry route will be able to help us in terms of, but the issue that we will have to possibly deal with in the inquiry, Chair, is that it's possible that the acting COO, the one who has been appointed now, could have been illegally appointed by a non-corrading board. So there might be actually a lot of rearrangements, including executive of current affairs, Lawudi, could have been appointed through a non-corrading board, which necessarily requires nine members of the board. And the two who came here, they said that they are shocked that there's a new COO in SABC who was executive head corporate affairs before. That is what the board members Mavuso and I do said, that they are hearing for the first time, meaning that there was no nine members of the board when that decision was taken. So we're dealing with a situation where you've got COO Tugwane and executive Tlaud, who are illegally appointed by a board and recommended to a minister for I don't know what where she gets the instruction or the mandate to sign such an illegal decision. So we're dealing with those issues. Let's say have an inquiry. I don't think it will take us a very long time. We can set one day aside. We can agree that there's going to be an inquiry of the board maybe next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, and then you'll interact with the speaker and then the chief whips in terms of a possibility of tabling an urgent report to the National Assembly, because there's a vacuum that has been created and a crisis that has been created in the SABC now. We can then agree whether we stick to the current parliamentary program, which says that the National Assembly will sit on the 25th of October, or there must be a special sitting that must be convened in terms of the rules of the National Assembly that permits for that to happen.
Honorable Mantisha.
No, thanks. I thought we were actually done with the whole thing. And in my own opinion, we're going back. You see, yes, the issue of the inquiry, etc., may take 3 years or even more. I say this because of the kind of things that those people have done. And some of those things, of course, have been reported by them in this very meeting, where some of the members rose and said, yeah, I don't agree there, I don't agree, etc., etc. Therefore, if we talk of an inquiry, I don't believe really it is going to take only one day. That is the first thing. Now, secondly, we agree that we don't have the board. The board is not there. Okay? Now, what do we do as this committee? The board is not there. Now, the third thing that I want to put is that these are people who are not employed. Yes, there are those three who are employed who sit on the board, and these other people, you can say, in line with the Labor Relations Act, etc., etc., come and so on. You can't do that. So one of the members here raised this point, and I agree with her, that request these other people to give South Africa the space, let them shift, so that our country can be able to move forward. I agree again with the fourth point that was raised, that we should have an urgent parliamentary sitting. Request the honourable speaker to ensure that we do indeed have that. Fifthly, that we request, actually, that is exactly what you or we as a committee need to do, to say to the minister, make sure that things run properly here until such time we shall have said as parliament to handle all these kind of things. But then I want to insist, Chair, that you go on, by you, I'm not referring you as an individual, or we go on and say, hey, there is going to be a problem if we go on with the, this inquiry, etc., etc. That is not going to be a problem. We've got to make sure that, as a matter of urgency, everything goes on, but then, at the moment, we've got to ensure that by hook or crook, this whole thing ends immediately. We don't have the board. Let us move from there.
Members, I think we have said our say. And I'm convinced that members do agree with the inquiry. in principle. But we can't institute an inquiry without touching base with the Speaker. Is that the understanding? Because we must allow the Speaker, or we must conduct the Speaker in relation to that. Secondly, we request or we write to, I think that was Comrade Floyd earlier and seconded by Comrade Self, that we write to the board and say, because of ABC, you haven't performed, if I can put it that way. We quote whatever is in the act and all of that and say, will you please resign? I think the members were saying that. Will you please resign? And if, because they are not there, I mean, they don't correct. And if they don't do that, we proceed with the inquiry. If they do, they make things easy for us to put in place an interim board. Am I not confusing your issues, members? Doctor?
Chairperson, may I just say something? I agree, you are right. I'm just not clear about one legal thing, but that's with regard to Section 15A, where you mentioned the three hurdles that needs to be in terms of you want to dissolve the board. One, not doing the fiduciary duties, and then there's a second one in terms of the charter, etc. If I remember the wording correctly, it said if they fail in any or all. Now, the question would be, do they have to fail in all three or only in any one of those three? But that's a legal thing. We can look at that. I was just thinking in terms of the the letter that needs to be written at this stage, Chairperson. Wouldn't it be better to send a separate letter to each and every individual trustee that are still a member of the board themselves? In other words, there's not going to be a meeting of the board. The board can't function. It can't meet. We are appealing to the individual members of the board left that we ask you to resign in terms of unanimous decision taken by the committee in Parliament.
Can you do that, members? I think there is no problem in that. Honourable Fundy, we are closing the meeting now.
Yes, I just want to find out if there will be a time frame to this letter and in the time, in how long will they have time to respond to the letter.
Yeah, Chairperson, I'm not going to answer that question. I just wanted to bring to your attention as well, as we are sitting here as a committee, Mr. Claudio Motswaneng outside has been saying that for those who are thinking we are gone, they are wrong. This is just the beginning. So I just also want to say to you that Mr. Motswaneng remains defiant. But not only that, I want to also ask you a question which might be a difficult question, Chairperson, but once we look at the inquiry into the fitness of the board, whether we will also be looking at the actions of the Minister of Communications in her role in aiding and abetting the board in their actions. Because it's our responsibility to hold the executive to account. And I just wanted to put that on record, that I think that will also be important, because throughout this entire process where this broadcaster has stumbled from one crisis to another, we've not heard the voice of this minister. And I just thought it would also be prudent of us to include that possibly in the inquiry. But I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I think the terms of reference of the inquiry will not be worked out here. Definitely a technical team will have to do that. Informed, of course, about what we're saying. Honourable Machop.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just applying my mind to the matter that raised by my colleague Chivambo about the appointment of the COO. He says it was illegal because there were few. Now we are saying, while you were here in front of us, giving us the report, now is illegal because there are few. I'm just trying to reverse our decision, Chairperson, because I'm worried when he said the appointment of the CEO was illegal because there were few. board of directors. Can you give more explanation about that?
Now, on the basis of what was said by the two members, Naidu and Mavuso, that they were not part of the preparation of this meeting. And therefore the board that presented here and took decisions, including that of the CFO, acting CFO, didn't correct, and therefore illegal. I think that's the simple point that the comrade was making. So there is no board because it doesn't correct. They are individuals. Comrades, I want us to conclude because I think we are clear of the inquiry and then the processes that will have to be followed by Parliament. Comrade Floyd?
No, Chairperson, I was saying we should not be worried about Tawudi's rentings and some chicken bravery. We're not going to be intimidated by Cloud. There were people who were saying here in Parliament that they're not going to pay back the money, but they went all the way to Venda to look for money to pay. And he thinks that is above the law. He's not going to be COO or any position in the SABC by the end of this year. So he must stop that chicken bravery which he talks about every day, that Yena is indispensable. There's no one who is indispensable in South Africa. We've got the rule of law. We've got a constitution that guides how things must be done. So you must not treat us like we're kids and people that he talks to there in the SABC and everything else every day and harasses without consequences. The time of games has come to an end. He must live with that reality now.
Members, I think we are okay now. I think we're okay. Can you switch? We are okay. I think we, in principle, have taken a decision for the inquiry. Processes must be followed. Parliamentary processes will have to be followed properly. Secondly, we'll have to write to individuals of the board, those remaining, to say this is the state of affairs in the board. May you please resign. And then we hear what they say. But the decision is that we'll go for an inquiry. Is there anything else, members? On the summary, because I really don't want us to spoil the summary, because that's what you agreed upon. Of the process, that's something will form part of the parliamentary process. Any mover for adjournment or closure?
No, what was wrong with you? No, Honourable Chair, I thought I must just raise this for us as the committee to please request you to talk to the minister as the most important stakeholder, just to make sure that what then is alleged to be happening, it is really doesn't. Because not only are we doing our constitutional work, but it also dents individuals' images. And it's not really create a good environment for the committee to do its work. Just that of us respecting the responsibilities that are assigned to us by the Constitution of the Republic. Her as a minister, talk to her people, just to caution them to say there are things that should not be.
Members, thank you very much for your... Sit down, please. Let me say my say before you leave. Thank you very much for your contributions. I think everybody did have his chance to say whatever one wanted to say. And I think really we must talk to the minister because we can't talk to Tsweneng. the minister is a shareholder, so that he doesn't do what he's doing. And I think after this, we'll have to talk to the, as the committee, we'll have to talk to the public on the decisions that we've taken, because people are waiting for this committee meeting as to what it will pronounce. But thanks for your contributions and advice. We'll see you when we meet again. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.